You are currently looking at the best tweet that Lane Kiffin may have ever sent. The level of creativity to pull this off after a fantabulous day of LSU athletics. You better believe we're going to talk about LSU baseball. You better believe we're going to talk about all the other things regarding LSU sports. But I want you to take a look at what Lane Kiffin did to end one of the crazier Twitter beefs of the past week. And this is the full unedited image here. So Lane Kiffin says, "Love watching women's sports with LSU women's basketball tweeted. Hashtag just different. Hashtag crowd up by 48. This is what should excite you about LSU football and Lane Kiffin, because normally he is always going to get the last laugh. So just take a look at what the image says. And the big thing to know is that Ole Miss's coach, who, you know, I'll save a few extra curriculars here, absolutely positively blasted Lane Kiffin for doing something that pretty much a lot of other coaches would have done, which is just have fun. All he did was help promote Ole Miss's game versus LSU and might have had a few extra seats in there. And a lot of you know that the LSU women's basketball team had a miraculous comeback versus the Ole Miss Rebels where they failed to make a single basket. So you have to go all the way back to the Twitter beef when Lane Kiffin, of course, took it to Coach Yo. And then Coach Yo said, "Hey, Lane Kiffin, I am hiding the files," whatever the heck that means. And of course, she said something along the lines of, "Lane Kiffin, you don't even support women's sports." And look at what Lane Kiffin is doing now, supporting women's sports as he's done since he's been there, attending multiple LSU women's basketball games. And something else that's very interesting about this tweet is Lane also included all the women's national championships in all sports, right? So he's at the LSU women's basketball game, and he is showing you the banners we have for women's gymnastics, and of course, you see to the far left, volleyball, which of course is a women's sport as well. You also see the legendary Dede Bro right there. So it's interesting that Coach Yo said all of these things when Lane Kiffin was only taking the high road pretty much the entire time. And the most genius thing about this, and I have no idea what made him think of this, you take a look at the game. LSU 85, Missouri 37, all right? Lane Kiffin, the final hashtag is what's beautiful. Crowd up by 48. So why is 48 a relevant number in all of this? Guess how many points the Ole Miss Rebels, coming off a game where they couldn't even make a single basket in the fourth quarter versus LSU. Ole Miss scored 48 total points. Total points. Total versus South Carolina today. And I understand we just lost to South Carolina and all wins and losses are the same, whatever mumbo jumbo you want to say aloud. They only scored 48 points. You would have thought Coach Yo and all her infinite Twitter wisdom would have had her team ready to go after not making a single basket versus LSU. You would have thunk they would have put up more than 48 measly points. And what does Lane Kiffin do? Hashtag crowd up by 48. LSU here is indeed up by 48. And Lane Kiffin, all he was trying to do was actually get asses in the seats in Oxford earlier this week after Ole Miss's own coach called out her own fan base. I really do mean it. I do not know what the heck Ole Miss's women's basketball coach was trying to prove going at Lane Kiffin when he helped put butts in the seats. And all you did, Coach Yo at Ole Miss, was let your fans down. by having one of the most epic choke jobs in a conference game we have ever seen in women's basketball, not scoring a field goal in the fourth quarter, and then putting up 48 measly points, 48 versus South Carolina, 48. You're a ranked team, and you scored 48 total points. But I'm mostly showing love to Lane Kiffin. The level of creativity to come up with all of this on the fly. Now, did Lane go into today knowing that LSU women's basketball was probably going to take care of business versus Missouri? Did he premeditate that this was actually going to happen? Did he include all these extra little nuggets that are in here, including that he tweeted this with the fourth quarter up there? You can see this is a space between the third and the fourth quarter. I don't know. I do not know. But it is an absolute thing of beauty. And there's probably a few other extra things that I'm missing in Lane Kiffin's best tweet since he has made LSU his home. So I know there's 1,000 different tweets you could point to as far as Lane Kiffin's absolute best. But welcome in. A little bit of a different start. Didn't go into the intro. Cold intro. Saturday night lifestyle. It is Sunday night PHL Live. And I'm so excited that LSU baseball took care of business. Shout out to all my fellow thick boys. Yorkie is that dude. I'm loving life right now, baby. I'm loving life right now. Shout out to William Schmidt. And I know a lot of you were complaining about paying $30 gajillion to watch a janky D1 baseball stream. What did I tell you last year? I told you this exact thing last year. And a lot of you have not learned your lesson. I want to shout out Daily Joy because she saved a lot of us last year. She streamed a good bit of the games on Twitter for us to watch. You've got to be careful signing up for services that doesn't actually carry live sports. Live sports are hard to do. I broadcast JUCO basketball games. All right? And we don't have big ESPN production trucks. I have a production specialist come in and set up all of our streams. We got to do internet tests, and that's just a smaller stream. Think about doing something for a gazillion people. But look, a lot of you were complaining about the quality of the stream. I get it. You don't have to worry about it anymore, at least I think. But the point is, LSU is 8-0 in baseball. LSU women's basketball is cruising. LSU football, kind of a dead period right now. We do have a few football-related things. I also have a bone to pick with Josh Pate. Did something relatively controversial. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show today. Also, very good day to be an American. How about that hockey game? Got to watch that in Baton Rouge this morning with my uncle. I freaking love watching USA Hockey get it done versus Canada. Even though I don't really love hockey as a sport, man, Kenny Albert, Mike Tirico, the whole gang, it was a wonderful stream, a wonderful game, a wonderful broadcast on NBC. The Stars and Stripes getting it done. I'm just loving life right now. I really am. Now, let's talk about women's basketball. How about that rebounding? How about a lit PMAC? Something else that I didn't include with that Lane Kiffin tweet a minute ago is the stands were packed. The stands were packed in a game that we thought was going to be a blowout. All right, so cool stuff. Glad everybody was to the very tip top of the rafters. And, you know, obviously there were some empty seats because these games do get pretty rancid pretty quick. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot that you could take away from a performance from today. But to me, the big things, you saw Michaela have a good little bounce back in this game. But Full Wiley is starting to put together two really good games in a row, two 20-plus point games. The South Carolina game was a disaster. Obviously, there was a lot going into that game. Probably went into that one a little too jacked up. But even before that, Full Wiley had some tougher games versus some of the better competition. And now she has put together some of her best basketball at the right time. And then, of course, you know, Johnson just dominated the boards. I mean, it was just a rebounding affair. LSU's not the biggest team, so to dominate the paint is pretty impressive. So You know, it's interesting. I think that South Carolina loss in many ways made LSU just a tougher overall basketball team to obviously look at where they are now. They're starting to play some of their best ball as we move into March. All right. You had a great fourth quarter versus Ole Miss. You played four quarters of dominant ball today. So five consecutive great quarters. You do love to see that. And then, of course, you know, you look at LSU baseball and where we are right now as a program. You know, the poll question is up. Do you think LSU baseball is truly elite? I think they are, but I also gave the option of, do we want to actually wait for SEC play before we say anything? There's obviously a chance that there are holes on this team. Will this pitching staff live up to expectation? You did give up seven runs a little bit earlier versus Indiana. So, you know, whatever the case may be, I don't know. I'll be honest. I didn't watch a whole lot of it. Part of it is because I'm not paying $30 for a stream that I think wasn't going to be great. Turned out to be true. Also, I did go to a few NBA games this weekend. Got to go see the Pelicans. I don't get to go to a lot of Pels games. This was a good time for me to get to go. Got to go to the game with my dad. And I got to see Cam Thomas up close if you're just into LSU stuff. But I'm a big Pelicans fan. That's one of my favorite hobbies. Excited to just go in there and just root my ass off. Also went to the 76ers game. We played terrible versus the Bucks. Got the W versus the 76ers. But the truth is, it's always great to go to these games and, you know, cheer with other Pelican fans and other LSU fans. Saw a lot of LSU gear there as well. You know, it's interesting when, you know, you go back down and you talk to more people that are fans of this and all of that, the level of excitement for LSU football right now is just truly, truly out of this world. You know, it was interesting. I got to hang out with Jason of Fred's Bar. Yes. And I have met Jason plenty of times, sometimes in not the best mental state because I spent many a money at Fred's Bar in college. I love Fred's. And, you know, I got to talk to him for forever. And he said that the energy in Baton Rouge is unlike anything he has seen before. And that is so fascinating to me that LSU has had all this success in football, multiple Heisman Trophy winners. And now you're getting more admissions. Now you're getting more season ticket requests. People love offense and people love energy. And those two things are coming to Baton Rouge. What did we not have last year? Well, I'll tell you this. We have a top five corner in the NFL draft, but offense sells tickets, baby. Offense sells tickets. So with the Lane train coming in, with Sam Leavitt, Jordan Seaton, it's going to be lit. Which is why you got to hit that subscribe button. That's why you got to ring the bell. That's why you have to absolutely bring it yourself. Because, look, for me, I haven't had this much fun doing LSU football stuff in a very long time. And part of it is a little bit of I told you so because I wanted Lane back in 2021. But whatever the case may be, I want you to understand that we're going to do the absolute best job on YouTube, in particular from a film perspective, breaking down what makes Lane Kiffin great, what I think LSU could look like next year. So if you are one of those people, hit that subscribe button, ring the bell. And I'm going to be honest. I needed a weekend down in South Louisiana. Got to see my nephew. Got to see so many different things at the Pelicans game. I saw a lot of LSU stuff. I really did. One more thing. Y'all, I have a newfound respect for Jaxson Harris. So, tomorrow, for our members and for our patrons, I'm looking at you, the special people that really help put food on my table. you're going to get a Jackson Harris breakdown that is so great. You're going to be like, dang, why wasn't I a patron and a member before this? So that will hit your inbox tomorrow at 8 a.m. Jackson Harris breakdown, the Hawaii wide receiver. It's interesting. There's an analytics account by the name of Stats O War. I had already started doing a Jackson Harris breakdown. And Parker, that's his name, Stats O War, big analytic account, works for, I think, a site named Dropback. Now, I think that's what it is. Awesome analytics account. I followed their founder. I should know their name a gazillion percent before shouting them out. But what I decided to do with the Jackson Harris thing, I started making it last week, and I just came across Parker just tweeting something out that Jackson Harris is one of the guys that met a few thresholds for a guy that's going to get more volume as his career breaks out. Jackson Harris, basically still relatively young in his career, put up huge yard per route run numbers, put up huge yard per catch numbers. And you look at what he could potentially do for LSU next year. I think it's more than just, hey, we're going to put you outside at the X wide receiver and we're just going to let you cook. The thing that really stood out to me about Jackson is the yak. After the catch, Jackson Harris is really good. He is really, really, really good. I did not expect that. I thought it was going to be a lot of, hey, he's behind the defense, blown coverage, Hawaii. No, there was some really, really, really good stuff. So that'll be tomorrow for the patrons and the Discordians and the YouTube members. Now, I want to talk about to me, because we're going to maintain ourselves as a football most channel. And then we're going to get into a deeper women's basketball discussion and so on. And then baseball. We try and do it all, but we stick with what we know, which is LSU football. You know, so much in the game of football is who you play, right? We bring that up all the time, the schedules. And we, as a community, have had this major debate between LSU and what they play on a week-to-week basis, what other SEC teams play on a week-to-week basis, but more importantly, what teams outside of the SEC play on a week-to-week basis. And obviously, we're all competing for just 12 playoff slots. And we've gone back and forth on the 9-game SEC schedule. So, I'm not here to convince you that 9 is better than 8, because it is. Most of you disagree, and that's okay. But college football is such a year-by-year sport. That's it. It is a year-by-year sport. So much so that it's not what it used to be where, well, we know Alabama every year is going to be good. And we know Georgia every year is going to be good. And we know Ohio State every year is going to be good. And not only are they going to be good, they're going to be elite. Now, in most seasons, 2 out of those 3 are probably going to be elite, like it was last year. But Georgia was very beatable. They were a very lucky team. And I also think Kirby did his best coaching job last year. Ohio State got beat by Indiana. This is a year-to-year thing now. So now, who you play for that year becomes just as important. You know, Brian Kelly was very unlucky that he got Vanderbilt on his schedule the 2 years that they had Diego Pavia. All right. So what has transpired over the last 48 hours? LSU sees that they're going to play Trinidad Chambliss. And that sucks, because Trinidad Chambliss is a real deal. He is rightfully going into next year as probably the most popular quarterback in the SEC. But you did get a big break that Joey Aguilar will not be available for Tennessee next year. Now, we will see what happens, but that's big. That is absolutely big. Now, why is it big? Well, number one, Tennessee's backup quarterback situation and their starter is going to be a year two guy in George McIntyre, who's not played a whole heck of a lot. But Joey Aguilar, we'll see what happens. Could be totally wrong. That's big. It's huge. After Alabama and after Texas, you have to go on the road to Tennessee. You have to go on the road to Arkansas. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Let's go to Sam. With Tennessee not being as good, LSU might not be the underdog in a game this regular season. Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Let's go to our first super. Coming in hot on Venmo is Julie. I thought OU was being pushed for the LSU for rivalry weekend, but we don't even play them this year. Your thoughts? So, yeah, let's talk about that, Julie. LSU and Oklahoma is no longer a permanent rival, and nor was it ever going to be. So part of, you know, the rivalry thing is they wanted every team at the end of the year to have a team that they played annually in that final week of the season. The problem for LSU is that we don't have an iconic rival. All right, we just don't. So, you know, with Auburn, it's always going to be Alabama. Ole Miss, it's always going to be Mississippi State, and so on and so on. So we never really had that outside of Arkansas, all right? So when the SEC was putting together the permanent three teams that you play every year, it wasn't really feasible to do LSU and Oklahoma as permanent rivals in that final week of the season. Could they have made that happen and kept Arkansas, Missouri, and all of that? Sure. But the SEC elected to not do that. And part of that is because Oklahoma, they play Texas every year, and that rivalry is in the middle of the year. Texas wants to play Texas A&M at the end of the year. We used to play Texas A&M, but Texas and Texas A&M should be a Thanksgiving rivalry game weekend, which is why we picked up Oklahoma. And just based on what the SEC thought as a permanent three-game divisional thing, they looked at LSU-Oklahoma as a rivalry that did not need to maintain itself moving forward. And that's basically it. Now, if the SEC would have kept its old scheduling format, sure. Sure, absolutely. They probably would have done that very thing. But, you know, am I going to miss playing Oklahoma every year? All right, LSU felt like Kim is punishing Gracie today. Yeah, Grace Knox, DNP. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, I tend to not dwell on that because, number one, we won. And then, number two, there's more teams in the SEC dealing with these kinds of things in a way worse manner. We saw that today in Knoxville. The Tennessee women's basketball program. Oh, you know, it's not good with their coach and their players. And you have ESPN's number one young women's college basketball analyst calling out Tennessee, saying, hey, get your ish together as far as that. Hal says, you're not missing anything with the Pelicans, Carter. No, well, look. They're still going to have my support. That's how much I freaking love that NBA team. And that's how much I freaking love my New Orleans Pelicans. Now, something else. And this is a DM that I've gotten recently. Why are you talking about Ole Miss so much? Because I've tweeted about it a few times, our opening segment. And the answer to that is because it's fun. It's fun. I'm glad that these two have this going on. It's good. Number one, it's good for women's basketball because Lane's involved. And it adds a little extra juice. The game itself was very fantastic. LSU versus Ole Miss. We went live before that game on Thursday night. And to me, if you are going to talk a lot on Twitter, it's okay if you do that while you're winning. But I'm telling you right now, if I was an Ole Miss women's basketball fan that actually cares about the program, because obviously not a whole lot of Ole Miss fans care about the program, I would be dismantled at the fact that my coach simply won't shut up on social media. For what? For what? I don't know. You're tweeting crazy, and I have gotten in return five really bad quarters of continuous basketball versus teams actually with a pulse. It's crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. Okay. Now, last thing before we get to the first break, and then we'll get to all of Lane Kiffin's tweets. I'm looking at you when I say this. Team USA, love seeing that. Awesome stuff. So I saw this video with Josh Pate, you know, the voice of college football. And everyone's making a big deal about him interviewing the president. Well, this is what it's called, a media tease. I said there was something that Josh Pate did that got me angry. And it's not that. Now, you can agree or disagree with him interviewing a president all you want. What I would tell you, though, is I was perplexed, shocked, bamboozled that he did not have LSU as one of the top 12 college football programs. Now, I went and actually watched the video of him explaining his top 12 college football programs. And here's the thing about it. I did a video on my SEC channel a few years ago telling Pate that it was crazy for him to have Oklahoma ahead of Ole Miss a few years ago. He turned out to be right. He turned out to be right because Oklahoma's been better than LSU in recent years. He was right. I didn't have LSU as high as what you guys thought I would have had him, but he was right. But I truly think it's wild to not have LSU as one of the 12 best football programs in the country right now. I think it's wild. And I think he just heavily weighted the last 3 years. But for me, with unrestricted free agency in college football, truly nothing really matters from year to year, really outside of literally the last year you played. And even then, that might not matter a whole heck of a lot, especially if it's a new staff coming in for the first season. And if there was one thing I did get right about the Brian Kelly era, is that we overrated the taking over of a roster with only 39 scholarship guys. Was it impressive to go to the SEC championship game in that first year? Yes. But to keep going back to the, well, he's building his program, he's building his culture. Well, we got to have this stuff figured out by year two. That's just how it works. All right? And so much of it comes down to fundraising and how much money you're able to have for this roster. Well, guess what? We have spent a lot. We have addressed a lot of needs. And my own expectations for this program has actually gone up quite a bit from where we were a few months ago when Lane was, you know, just now taking over. I thought we'd be a fringe playoff team. But now I really do feel LSU should at the very least be firmly in the discussion going into November for the college football playoff. We were not in that discussion last year. And that's where we need to be. So, you know, I just think it's hard to sell to anybody right now that LSU is not a top 12 program going into next year.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaBoardTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaBoardTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaBoardTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today, patreon.com/LSU football, and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go!
Alrighty, what did Lane tweet today? How about that? Chris Landry, the number one Flage fan, is in the house. Shout out to you, Chris. Love seeing super dads. I'm guessing this is his son or daughter going into the game today. Awesome stuff. Lane Kiffin, the same tweet that we broke down earlier. I saw this. Tennessee baseball fan struggling on the grill here.
Burn it down.
Why would he not turn the knobs off? No, he thought that's how you're supposed to do it. Best part of this video, lime beers, baby. Beer is always better with more fruit in there. Gotta have it. That is so good. What am I gonna do with my charred burgers? It's nuts. Jay Johnson. You guys know how I feel about the gray baseball uniform. So this is from Friday, where they took care of business versus Indiana 14-7. But this is the same thing for all college baseball. Not a gray uni guy. Every LSU uniform outside of the gray one's clear. But man, what a weekend for LSU baseball. Kirby Smart's got a son. That's a QB. Some 7-on-7 action. How about that?
That was a 2-run shot. And nothing cheap about it as it sailed over the 400-foot side. Here comes the runner from third. The Tigers add to their lead.
Look at that. So this was a thing. All right. So I don't know if I could play TikToks. I think I can. But basically, a fan got a floor seat for the Ole Miss game, and he wasn't able to go down to the floor seat because he was wearing LSU gear. Shout out LSU Gymnastics. Remember, Lane Kiffin does not support women's sports, according to Ole Miss. Crazy. I knew a few people that went to this autograph signing. This was awesome.
Today we have the LSU football team signing autographs.
I would like to include that this man right here, along with Lane Kiffin, went to the hospital to visit some patients.
To raise money for Once Upon a Room.
We're so excited. We started Once Upon a Room when we were 12 to decorate hospital rooms for kids across the country who are in the hospital for long-term stays. And we're so excited to be here today with Landry and the Once Upon a Room Baton Rouge chapter.
No, there's Kate in Durham. Love to see it. Tyron Matthew sounds off on the differences
right they have.
Between NFL and college facilities. We'll play the clip.
To the league, bro. Not even just the Cardinals, but when we used to go on the road and travel, mm-hmm. right? I couldn't believe that this was NFL infrastructure. I couldn't believe that this was NFL places of work. Right. Shit that, you know, it's like a high school almost, right? Yeah. Like, and I could never understand that. I was like, what, like, how is LSU? Right? And LSU probably, you know, make what, a couple hundred million dollars a year? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how is they far better institution than, some of these dudes been on them teams 100 years, bro. You know, it's been in the family for 100 years. Yeah. And I mean, that's what it looks like. Yeah. It looks like 100 years ago.
Right.
Right. You know, with the Chiefs, right? I won a Super Bowl there. I think highly of, you know, the Hunt family. I think they cool people. Obviously, they gave me a whole lot of money. And I'd never say anything bad about them. Yeah, but, you know, I think that's the next step for them. It's to, man, how do we upgrade these seats? Like, you got one of the greatest, fan bases in the whole, world, right? And, like, how do we sort of make them feel special? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's amazing. We'll talk more about Aguilar. And here's Lane Kiffin, more What's Upon the Room. Hey, Landry. Good stuff. There's Cookie again. We'll go through these final tweets really quickly. There's a few other topics I want to get to. And I won't get back into the Ole Miss stuff again. And the funny thing, before all this began, on the pregame, before Ole Miss, I said, I like Coach Yo. And overall, I do. It's just, man, this has not been a good look. I did say that, though. I've always liked her. I think she does a lot of good stuff for the overall women's basketball game. But still. You know, I'll touch on the Tyron Matthew clip. And, you know, with football at the collegiate level, you are doing so much of the courting of the athlete. So those facilities really do matter. Now, there's a discussion over, do facilities and the quality of it matter for kids as much when kids are going to go wherever the largest check will be dished out. But, you know, I truly do think that facilities are so good now at the college level that they are still good for at least the next 5 to 10 years almost everywhere. Where this really starts to become a thing, now that so much of college athletics is just money, money, and money, and because the players are getting money, we'll see what the facilities look like 5 to 10 years from now. Whereas in the NFL, the owners basically own everything, and it's a fight between municipalities, cities, government, over how much taxpayer money you're given. But a lot of the weight rooms and all of that stuff, a lot of those are owned by the actual NFL teams, if I'm not mistaken. So they don't need to be the absolute best. because NFL owners want to make the most money. And then on top of that, a lot of these NFL players have their own private trainers anyway. So it is a bit of a different economical situation. Whereas with the old college athletics, your best asset were the facilities. How good was your weight room? How good are the meal plans? How good is the housing and all of that? It's going to be interesting how those things actually hold up in college athletics. I think that they will continue to do that because big donors don't mind signing checks for buildings because I could put my name on a building and it'd stay there. So it is a little bit of a different thing. And I'm glad Tyrann Mathieu shared that because a lot of people assume that you go from college into the actual professional game, you automatically assume that the professional game is going to be better than the college game. Another good example of this are the actual stadiums. College stadiums are oftentimes bigger than that of the NFL, and the actual fields are better. Most of the teams in the SEC, they have grass fields. They do. Whereas in the NFL, it's very hit or miss. We say hi to Christopher. We go to Pegasus. So is this like non-conference play for baseball? Yeah, kind of, sort of. Kind of, sort of. Let's go to a few more comments. I also seen something about someone in Lake Charles trying to bring hockey back. Hockey. Aaron, bring hockey back to Lake Charles or BR? I don't know. I think the LSU Rec League hockey team is back. Okay. Now, here's the next thing I'll address. Something to actually know something about, which is broadcasting. So, LSU baseball, they're really good. The quality of level of play that they're going up against, it's not the absolute best. We won't know a whole lot until SEC play, all of that, all right? You guys watched the games this weekend. I was not able to watch them as closely as a lot of you because a lot of you did pay the $30 to stream the games. What I would tell you is I do have a pretty good understanding, though, of how to actually broadcast a sporting event. So I do college play-by-play. I called a game remote for the first time this past weekend. Which was cool that I was able to, you know, do what other broadcasters had to do during COVID, which was call a game. I had to build a studio in my friend's basement who had a really fast Wi-Fi and broadcasted a game. And there was so much that went into that. But that was just with a two-camera shot and me somewhere else. This is all on site, but still, there are so many moving parts to shoot a baseball game, which, by the way, is really hard to do. Baseball is not easy. You would not think that because it's slower, but it's really hard. Really, really, really hard. And there's so many different things from bandwidth to the actual quality of the stream to actually making money off of it. Because one thing a lot of people don't tell you is the equipment cost, the labor cost can all get pretty extensive. Baseball games don't have even time limits. There's a lot of like pre-made graphics that need to be made. I saw a couple of you complaining about they didn't have the graphic correct for Jay Johnson and how many years he's been at LSU or whatever. So I didn't watch it. So I'm not going to tell you if it was like laggy or anything like that. But a lot of you were complaining about it. This is a hard sport to just do on a one-off at a high level. Like, it's really hard. And I think a good example of this is Netflix. Netflix actually did pay a lot of money. They're not like D1 baseball. Netflix has an infinite amount of money. They streamed a celebrity boxing match and could not pull it off. They simply couldn't. It was one of the worst disasters of a stream ever put together because live sports are different. Movies, you can have a gazillion takes. You have AI now. You could fix all of that. It's not live sports. You've got to get it right the first time. So to that, I'm sorry. I feel bad. I wish I was rich enough to give you $30 for you to get your money back. $10 per game. You probably didn't get your money's worth. It sucks. It really, really, really sucks. So to that, just don't do it again. I shouted out Daily Joy a little bit earlier. I even sent her some money for actually streaming the game last year. And she's a good friend of mine. I'm a big supporter of her brand. But, like, it's nuts. It's almost to the point where I'd rather just pay a gazillion dollars to go to Florida and actually watch the game boots on the ground. Let's go to Pegasus. He wants to talk men's basketball. I saw people saying there's a chance McMahon stays because of the money used this year and what it would take to replace him. But is that worse than running it back with the same coach and zero support? I don't know. I'm not going to say this coach's name again because it gets a lot of people upset. But, you know, there have been things that have happened over the past few weeks that makes you think that a man could be coming back. But it's just bad. Matt McMahon is just bad. Like, I wish that wasn't the case, especially considering, you know, you have some of your favorite players that are on that staff and Tazan Mitchell, Ronald Dupree, and so on and so on. But, you know, it is what it is, okay? You know, I've gone back and forth on if I actually want Will Wade back. I really have. Like, I wasn't going to say his name, but oh well. I think a lot of people won't necessarily, like, just be a gazillion percent on fire about that, but it's not here nor there. Okay. What's next for LSU women's basketball? Tennessee is a program that is dealing with a lot of outside noise. They're good. And, you know, Kim Mulkey was getting emotional talking about this being Flage's final home game. You know, Flage is one of the most iconic LSU athletes of any sport, of any era. You know, she's going to be so unbelievably recognizable in the WNBA and as her, you know, musical career continues to flourish. So, yeah, senior night's going to be tough. That'll be coming up on Thursday versus Tennessee, 5 p.m. Central. And you end the season at Humphrey playing Mississippi State. Obviously, Mississippi State isn't good. They got absolutely blown out today by Texas. So you'll no less finish this year 1-1. And, you know, that Ole Miss game was big that they came back and won it. We knew going into Missouri that this was going to be a game that LSU was probably going to win handily. But even in victory, it is a bit of a concern that so many of these games are 108-55. All right, now I will say, as you can see, LSU has had a run of really close games, but there's still a lot of these 30-point blowouts that are on this schedule. And, you know, we did this a few weeks ago. You can go back and see the full research. LSU is now 15-14 in their last 29 games decided by 10 points or less. And we did a record comparison, and obviously some of these numbers are slightly different now. But you'll see, well, we haven't been as good in close games as some of the other elite programs. What I would say, though, is that there's probably some positive luck regression going in our favor. You know, we saw that with the Ole Miss game. But, you know, at the same time, it's kind of just women's college basketball. You know, and I'll put this up again. You look at the elite, elite programs at the top there, UConn, South Carolina, UCLA, they rarely play one-score games. Like, it's rare. I really want you to think about this. UConn total in 2023, 2024, in 2025, they have played 7 games decided by 10 or less. 10 points, y'all. 10. So, like, we're not talking about buzzer beater games. There was some margin for this close game breakdown that we did. There is no sport right now in collegiate, and I would even say professional levels, that the actual top level has as many of these types of blowouts in your own conference. It's crazy. Like, yeah, those blowouts happen in the SEC, sure. But, you know, the worst team in the SEC this last year was Arkansas. They played everybody close in football. Everybody LSU in baseball is good. Women's basketball just has a lot of these big blowouts. And I reached out to a few people that cover it, and they basically say, Carter, the elite players are just that much better than the next tier. And that's just the simplest solution. It's just the simplest way to describe it, and I agree with it. There's not as many upsets. There's not as much variance. But goodness gracious, the blowouts are just insane. And I'm interested to see, like, how many of those are in other sports. You know, you just don't really see it a whole lot in conference football. You really don't. Like, occasionally you'll have, like, a 50-pointer. But, man, it is crazy. Crazy. Let's go to Hal. Do I think Will Wade is the only coach out there to bring back the magic to the men's basketball program? No. No. I don't think so. I don't think it needs to be an A-lister. I really don't. And Will Wade is, like, for LSU, that would be an A-list hire. But, you know, he's not a Hall of Famer now. And there's Hall of Fame coaches out there that are unemployed and still relatively sharp. They're not, you know, old and decrepit, if you will. I'll also say that I think coaching and just everything in general has become an old man's game. The better coaches are older. The better players in college sports, they're also older. You know, Kurt Cignetti's in his 60s. You know, give me an older coach. you know, I think there was, you know, this younger coach revolution. Give me a guy that has experience. Now, it doesn't need to be that guy. And in particular, if you get a younger coach on the ascent, it's also going to be cheaper. But yeah. Pegasus says he made LSU basketball cool to me. We were the villains, but we won too. Yeah. Let me see. I was trying to see. So Will Wade was out for, I think, 2 postseasons. Let's go to Cliff. 4 of those 7 runs they gave up to Indiana were unearned. LSU pitching is going to be great this year. You just got to cut down on the walks. Who's my number one? Okay, who's Hal's number one? Well, there you go. I don't know who Hal's number one is. Maybe Hal could tell us. I want to shout out Jay Johnson in the LSU baseball team once again. All tournament team, Zach York, Stephen Milam, Seth Dardar in the infield. In the outfield, Jake Brown, DH, Cade, Aaron Beatty, and William Schmidt. Apparently William Schmidt is a Catholic high guy. Crazy. So, you know, I do want to put my hat in the ring here for the discussion regarding Chris Stanfield. And he's currently hurt. And, you know, when you play baseball at the program that everybody considers the best, I mean, nobody's role is certain. All right. So, you know where I stand. I just want whoever Jay Johnson feels and whoever is the best lineup out there, all right? So, you know, for me, it's just not if Stanfield gets back healthy, you don't just need to put him back out there if you think he didn't deserve to lose his spot due to injury. That's the downside of coming to play at LSU. You can lose your spot. You know, people that really know baseball. It's not me. All right. But, you know, I know a decent amount. I thought Ashton Larson was the dude a few years ago. I was like, man, this dude. Oof. But that wasn't the case. You know, he moved on. This is the hardest place to crack a lineup. It is hard. And that is the brilliance of this. And with the transfer portal and a coach that is always working the recruiting phones, that's how you get Zach York. And then you have kids that dream of playing for LSU baseball. And the thing about LSU baseball that makes it interesting is it's now the program that even kids out of state dream for. Like, it's a program that kids everywhere wanting to play college baseball dream about playing for. It's crazy. But obviously, I'm cheering for Zach in particular. Thick boys, baby. We rule the world. We do. Are you down with the thickness? Are you down to play for the powerhouse of LSU? Whew. go to Pegasus. True or false, was that a Madrid jersey you were wearing yesterday? It was not a Madrid jersey. Why would you think I'd be wearing a Real Madrid jersey? Thank you. It was a Liverpool jersey. And you can ask Cliff. He saw this happen himself. It was crazy how many people stopped me wearing a Liverpool jersey. The guy took my ticket. Oh, you're a Liverpool fan? He was a Chelsea fan. There was a player for the 76ers, who I may name at a later date, who called me out for it because he was an Arsenal fan. And even the coach of the 76ers, Nick Nurse. Cliff wasn't there, but Nick, before the game, stopped and talked to me, and we talked for an extended period of time about English soccer and who his favorite team was. So shout out Nick Nurse. Oh, Embiid is a Real Madrid fan. Makes sense. I'm not Joel Embiid's biggest fan. Do I have respect for him? Heck yeah. But I don't like people that say, oh, I'm this person's biggest fan. Now, it was cool seeing Kyle Lowry, even though he flopped a little too much for me during his prime. I always cheer for shorter players that have had a lot of success in the NBA. And he's one of those guys. It was awesome, though. I've had the good fortune to sit courtside a few times. It's not like anything you would think it would be. It's that much and more, honestly. Because it's different because you're right there. And the thing that really gets you in a crazy spot by sitting courtside is you don't have the score in front of you. You don't. Most sports that you watch in your peripheral is the score, is the time, it's the situation. And this was my biggest regret not telling Nick Nurse this. Because I'm not well connected in the NBA, obviously. But it's insane to me that every single NBA staff has just this ridiculously deep cast of characters. Like just hundreds of assistants. And all of them sit in the exact same spot for a game. That makes no sense. Like when you are on the court watching a basketball game, now all those coaches are used to sitting there and analyzing a game from that level. I am not, and nor do I know as much about basketball as any single one of those staffers that work for the team. Security, any of them, they all know more basketball than me. But basketball, which is not as complex in football in terms of play calling and all of that, I do think it could be of benefit for the head coach to wear an earpiece and there be actual coordinators sitting up high. The NBA moves so fast. It moves so fast. All right, you think it moves fast. I've gotten I have a decent amount of knowledge when it comes to the NBA. I don't in terms of X's and O's. Everybody moves so fast, though. It is crazy. And all those guys are so good. They don't miss in warm-ups and so on and so on. But yes, the Friday game was terrible. It was terrible. The only good part was watching an LSU Tiger light us up. So there you go. All right, next 5 to 10 minutes, we're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Still crazy. I'm excited about Tennessee on Thursday. 5 straight losses are on the way for Tennessee. They've lost 4 in a row, and now they have to play us. Yeah, everybody in the NBA is so good. They're all so good. And, you know, I know I'm biased because I am an NBA fan. What makes me a non-fan is how bad it's structured. If the NBA was structured properly, it would be insane how much higher the ratings would be. But it's not structured well at all. Now, the reason why it's popular is that it's the second most popular sport in the world, and it's so big. And honestly, like, I wasn't alive during this time, but it was Larry and Magic. It's such a big reason why it's so popular now. I wish there could be a more simpler way to describe it. But Larry and Magic getting that going in the 80s, and then obviously, you know who, in the 90s. It's kind of what made it what it is. And it's more than those three guys. Stern's obviously a big reason, and so on and so on. But those three guys really got it to where it's literally box office. God. Let's go to Cliff. Kim Mulkey's not a good close game coach until she decides to add more structure to her offense. We need a bucket in the half court. Yeah, I agree. I do. And, you know, like, I don't think it's just close game. I also think from a coaching standpoint, it's hard to replicate that in practice, especially when so many of these games are just 40, 50 point blowouts. Like, I did not expect to see, I used to think that was just an LSU thing, but there's so many teams that have these kinds of blowouts. It's crazy. I thought UConn would have it. I didn't think it would be as crazy as, and obviously South Carolina, but it's rare how many times you truly play a close game. And it's hard to execute. You know, you're tired. Women's teams tend to have tighter rotations. Oh, yeah. Well, Pistol Pete is at for college, for sure. Cole. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, 8 p.m. Central, we will have, as 8 p.m. Central, 8 a.m. Central, we will have a new Jackson Harris breakdown. Once again, new Jackson Harris breakdown tomorrow at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. Okay. That'll do it for me. Thanks so much to everyone I got to see in Baton Rouge this weekend. We'll talk to you soon. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight we are doing Calzones. Big thanks to our top super chatter. That is LA Mom. Don't forget, join our membership, join our YouTube, Patreon, all that good stuff. Let's go.